everyone. It is Monday, May the 30th. Henry, you're on overnight. We've got a full roster today, so I'll throw straight to you. What have you got?
Thanks, Ben. Well, overnight on Friday in the US, it was a pretty solid number from the Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P, with, I guess, NASDAQ outperforming both of them, up 3.3%. So the bounce well and truly in. I think the Dow was up 6-odd% last week. It closed up 1.8%, 576 points. So all boding well. Our SPY futures were up 83, and we'll get to that as far as what our market is doing, but certainly a very solid day. We had oil prices going well as well. 1.7% higher in Brent crude, up to $120 a barrel. So that is interesting. And nickel was good, 4.5% better for nickel. Gold not doing much, iron ore a smidge higher. So all is looking relatively good. Memorial Day and the holiday as well for the US markets tonight. So we do have a little bit of clean air, but those tech stocks were bouncing strongly on Friday. Block was up 8.5%. Tesla had a good night, up 7.3%. So we are seeing that rally continue in the Aussie market today, and maybe we'll see more tomorrow with the US closed, clean air. So there we go. Back to you, Ben.
Very good. Thank you, Henry. It is always nice to start the week on a positive note. Tom, what else is happening locally?
Thank you, Ben. Positive indeed is flowing from the US into our market. ASX 200 up 78 points. Tech and miners leading the market higher. Utilities, the only sector in negative territory, and financials are slightly underperforming the broader market. On the corporate front, Bubs Australia is up 48% and got a shout out from US President Biden as the US looks to Australia to help with its baby formula supply shortages. AGL Energy down 4.2% has withdrawn its demerger proposal and announced a review of its strategic direction. The CEO and chairman are also going to step down. Liontown Resources LTR is up 5.7%. They extended its offtake term sheet with Tesla, and Glencore is trying to sell its Yancoal stake, and Yancoal is down 13.5%. There was also a bid for them as well. So a bit going on for Yancoal, and Elders is off 2.4% trading ex-dividend today. As Henry said, Memorial Day tonight in the US, so direction will come from Europe tomorrow. Nothing on the economic front today for us.
Very nice. Thank you, Tom. Layden, anything good from the brokers?
Thank you, Ben. Not a whole heap going on so far yet this morning, but I've got Jumbo Interactive, that's J-I-N. Morgan Stanley has estimated the optionality of software growth has not been incorporated in the share price at all so far. Management has a goal to scale software to 50% of revenue in FY26. Morgan Stanley sees potential for a $46 share price in a bull market, but for the next 12 months has a target price of $25.50, up from $22, with an overweight recommendation, and that implies a 64% upside. And BHP, Macquarie has some research out this morning. BHP is trading dividend following the demerger, of course, as of the 25th of May. That's here and in London as well. And Macquarie stated the upgrade is driven by multiple factors, including a diversified materials portfolio with exposure to copper and further upside from nickel, as well as a smaller carbon footprint. And they've got an outperform recommendation there with a target price of $57, which implies a 31% upside. Thank you.
Great stuff. Thank you, Layton. Christopher Conway, what are you doing for trading today?
Thank you. Just backing over the trades that I have open at the moment. They are mostly in the energy space. So very nice to hear Henry talking earlier about the energy price, the oil price in particular, continuing to rise. So we're benefiting nicely from that, which is a good thing. The chart of the day today is Firefinch. It is one that I have touched on before. It is a gold miner and a lithium developer. So just looking across the board, a lot of the lithium stocks higher on the day. Tom talking about Liontown up 5%, Allkem up a couple of percent. It's broken out of a technical pattern, a descending triangle, and had a very, very strong signal on Friday. And the guidance this morning was that for anyone who was interested in it, you could just buy it on the open, and it's up another 2% this morning. So that looking like it could continue to run higher. And then finally, for my Manic Monday session today, I put a little graphic in the Saturday edition of the newsletter ranking the sectors. Ben, that's work that you and I do with regard to the SMAs, but it also has some relevance for my section of the newsletter, ranking the sectors from best to worst based on the big three macro drivers in terms of interest rates, inflation, and GDP growth. I did this analysis back in February. It was actually quite popular. Quite a few members emailed me and said that they were interested in it. And obviously, we've seen inflation continue to rise. We've seen interest rates going higher, and we've seen GDP expectations expectations come back. So quite a few things have changed since I last did this analysis in February. I will be doing that again today in the Manic Monday section of the newsletter. So for anyone who's interested, be sure to check it out.
Great work. Thank you, Chris. Henry, back to you. What are you writing in Henry's take today?
Just a shout out to Tom, who wrote buy sell on Calix last week, I think it was. They're up 7.2% today. So that's good stuff. Firefinch as well, just for those people that are interested in that trade. They are at the moment doing a demerger of their lithium assets, which is a thing called Leo Lithium. You're going to be getting some freebie shares in that one. And you can also apply for some more shares in that. And they are a stock that I did a bit of work on a couple of weeks ago, Leo Lithium being that. So Firefinch will effectively become just a gold stock and they will have a share of Leo Lithium. As far as my stuff goes today, just looking at EOS, Electro Optic Systems, which I added to the portfolio last week on the back of a slightly more positive AGM announcement, which was good. And also having a look today at the usual stuff on a Monday in terms of where the US is. And it's still, you look at where the US is in terms of that recession expectation. Macquarie's got a good note out today from their sales team on the recession risk in the US. They do put that at, 10% for a hard recession. I think it was 60% for a relatively mild downturn and 30% chance of a soft landing. So that's what they're talking about today. Also looking at the NEAT ETF portfolio, adding a bit of US exposure to that. It's been in cash for a while, but time to probably put some money there with GGUS and NDQ, the ones to do there. That's about it from me at the moment.
Great work as always, Henry. I know a lot of ears prick up whenever you talk about EOS, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of eyeballs on your piece today.
I don't know why I ever became the EOS guru. Two articles in Livewire and I'm suddenly the expert, but there you go.
You just got to give the people what they want, Henry. Very good. Marcus, what have you got for strategy today?
Yes, thanks, Ben. Well, quite a day today, isn't it? We've had a six-day rally on Wall Street, and the NASDAQ now is up 9.93% from the bottom. And things like Block, which of course is Afterpay in, or the old Afterpay, but listed in the US, that's up 22%, which tells you how the fallen angels are coming back hard in the US, particularly in technology. But I would just point out our market, which is only up, I think, 3.6% from the bottom in this little rally, our market's only down 5.8%. So when we're talking about a bounce, although it is quite exciting to think we might have seen a big bottom rather than a small bottom, the truth of the matter is the opportunity is really in the US or in our technology sector, which is something like 40% down from the very tippy top now, rather than in our market as a whole. So the ideas for what to buy today, if you want to trade the bounce, is probably more in the tech sector, hot sectors, sentiment sectors, stock market stocks, and in ETFs. And today I have listed some ETFs for a bounce, and that's where the opportunity is, rather than buying the banks or resources, all of which have behaved themselves quite well in this fall. So the opportunity really is short-term trading rather than long-term investment in the Australian market. It's short-term trading in things that are going to bounce. Now, I have listed stuff, or ETFs in particular, in a separate section today, and you can have a read of that. There are some ETFs over the equity markets, over the ASX, and over the US and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, but they're pretty slow moving. And really, if you were going to trade and to be buying the market now, you'd have to be at the aggressive end of the investment spectrum. If you're going to buy something now, they will prove to be very slow moving, I think. Some of you might be interested in the ATEC ETF as a trade, ATEC, which covers the Australian technology sector, but the geared ones will probably get the most interest. There's an ultra long NASDAQ ETF, which is probably play of the day, which is LNAS. And there are a couple of other geared ones as well. But again, there's a geared one to the Australian equity market called GEAR, G-E-A. They are, but the Australian equity market is unlikely to move very much, certainly compared to tech and compared to the US. So a few ETFs for the bounce and the geared ETFs for the traders. Otherwise, why are we having a bounce? Well, if you look at the inflation numbers in the US on Friday, they were pretty good. There was a good rise in consumer spending as well. Bonds have topped out, 6-week low, and the 10-year bond yield's down from 3.2% to 2.7%. I mean, that's 50 basis points. Official official rates are going up 50 basis points next meeting. The market interest rates are down 50 basis points anyway. Bond yields peaking a little bit and the market worrying less about inflation and less about the growth trend. And you'll see that as well in the Aussie dollar started going up and the US dollar, which is a safe haven currency, started going down. And if you look in the strategy section today, you'll see charts of all these. You'll see the evidence of the bottoming in the market. Let's hope it continues. But for the moment, it's really for traders and it's probably for traders in technology, US stocks, bond out stocks, maybe stock market stocks. I've been looking at stocks that have fallen a lot in our market, which is not necessarily a good filter, but quality stocks that have dropped quite a lot. I would just point out BHP, Fortescue and Rio are, of course, coming up to their dividends in August. Fortescue is down about 26% from the top, very high quality company. Other companies you might consider to be quality might be things like Aristocrat Leisure, Wes Farmers, Harvey Norman. Can you call Harvey Norman quality? I think so. Car Sales, even Pilbara Minerals is on the list of quality stocks, which have fallen a lot. That's about 25% from the top. And there are loads of other Zero, Domino's. Anyway, trying to put an overlay of quality on the stocks that could be a good trade. I will do more work on that and publish something a bit later. But I think the standout are the stock market stocks. You'll notice things like Hub and Netwealth coming off the bottom, but particularly Macquarie. If you really wanted to be an investor for both yield and a recovery, then Macquarie is probably your slow burn stock. Not a bad time to buy it, perhaps. And that's about that from me.
Very nice. Thank you, Marcus. And we'll stay with you. You've got our question of the day today.
Ah, yes. I have been raking over some of the old books because of my new enthusiasm for sitting in the car and listening on Audible to books. And I've done Peter Lynch's One Up on Wall Street. I wrote an article about that. But the latest one I'm doing is I read it years ago, but I'm just rereading it again, is The Richest Man in Babylon, which is a book every person should hand to their children. It's really dated. I mean, really dated, the language in it. It should be rewritten, but it does provide basic financial rules. One of the rules, he says, or the book says, pay yourself. But what they actually mean is every time you earn a dollar, you should put 10% of that aside and then start to invest that. And it compounds, basically. So the question is, do you regularly save money, Ben?
I try to. And my preferred method is to use Raise, which is the Roundup app, primarily for the ability to just have a direct debit come out of my account every payday of whatever amount I desire that just goes straight into that. It gets put into the ETF portfolio that I've constructed in Raise and is just quietly growing and compounding in the background on my phone.
Tom?
Yes, I do save. And there are some great apps as well out there for people who need a bit more guidance and support with that. One that I've heard a lot of people talk about is Up. I haven't used it, but I've heard good things and might have to try it out.
Layton?
I'm similar to Ben. I also use Raise. It's pretty handy to just have it do it in the background for you automatically and you don't really have to think about it too much.
Henry?
Yes, I do. I also have embraced the new technology and I use Raise. It's good, actually, I got to say. It imposes a discipline on me that I don't usually have. Unfortunately, by the time I get to a nice substantial amount of money, I then spend that on something. I wouldn't say it's going into the market, but it is being saved and doing other stuff, nice stuff.
Yeah. Christopher?
Yes, I do. I'm a bit more old school. I have a spreadsheet that I'm looking at right now that I've maintained since 2016, a budgeting spreadsheet. So all gets accounted for in there.
Right. As for me, no, I don't save anything. I wish I had done. I would tell my kids to do so, but put something away every month or whatever. I've never done that. As I said, the other podcast, I've always worked on the basis of get up and make as much money as possible. Plus, I think Paul Keating read The Richest Man in Babylon and created superannuation in Australia. We're already putting 10% away every month, so I don't think I need to do much more than that. And there we go. Over to you, Ben.
Very good. Thanks, Marcus. Good question today. And that is that, I think, unless one's got anything else, we'll wrap it up. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
See ya.